Well, we're going to have God's word read to us now, so please take your Bibles. And Jocelyn is going to come and read from Philippians chapter 3. You can see there it's page 1180. Thanks, Jocelyn.
Hopefully I'm not the dull bit.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right, starting at chapter 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Jocelyn. And Philippians chapter 3, if you'd like to have the passage open, that'd be great. It's on page 1180 in the church Bibles. Let me pray briefly before we get stuck in. Father, thank you for your church. Jesus, we praise you for the people that you have saved through your own blood. Help us now to get excited as we think about the church and what we are and what you have planned for us. Amen. So we are in a short series on the church called The Body. And I'm just going to go over the headlines of the last two sermons because a number were away and because I and all of us need reminding as well. Paul says, that's what we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12, Christians, you are closer than you think. You're not a club, you're not a group, but you have been baptized by one Spirit. And you have far more in common just kind of than liking Jesus. You are joined. You are a body in Christ. You are family. Yeah, we're different from one another, but everyone is valued. And all are called to assume their responsibility in the body. The church body in Corinth was being disfigured, dismembered, I suppose you could say, by individualism and worldliness. Some were saying, I don't belong here. And Paul says, yes, you do belong. Because Jesus, the head, has put you here. You have a part to play. Others in the church there were saying, no, we don't need you. And Paul says to that person, you go sit down for a bit. No one person can do everything. All the parts are needed. Stop throwing your weight around. I wonder if you ever feel like someone is too prominent in the church. Or if you feel maybe that you are undervalued. Well, the question is not, what about them? The question is, am I in the place God has for me to fulfill the function I have and should be doing for him? The question isn't, what can this church do for me? But what can I do for this church? How can I get stuck in? What can I contribute with the gifts God has given me? Because Christ calls each part of the body to assume their responsibility. Because how can a whole body function effectively, was the picture, unless all the parts discover their function? How can the body be built up? So the responsibility of each part includes, amongst many things, coming to church. This is what we looked at last week. No, week before. It was harvest last week, wasn't it? But for many, Sundays is kind of relegated to another day. Even amongst Christians, it's actually kind of a second Saturday, really, that can fit around family life, parties, family gatherings, sport. And behind that is the failure to see that the church is our family. Is our family in Christ. And the Lord's Day is to be set apart for the glory of Christ and for the good of our souls. Christians should make being with the body a priority because we belong together around God. We're going to be in heaven together around God for all eternity. This is practice now, if you like. And we personally need to be here as well. Because we need to be built up by the regular soaking in God's word. We need his word, which is his instrument, to shape and mold us in our minds and our character. Also, others need us here. We should come to church because others need us. Because when the body meets, we encourage each other. We spur one another on. But when we stay away for kind of no good reason, actually, we can't love people. We can't talk to them. We can't encourage them in the same way. It all hangs on our actually being present, doesn't it? So just being at church is one of the most loving and encouraging things we can do for one another. And coming to church begins at home. It begins with the resolve to be present every week. Missed Sundays can add up really quickly, can't they? Not many for genuine reasons. But what often kind of really stops us coming is the failure to grasp how important the ministry of turning up actually is. So unless there's an emergency, my plea, as your pastor, my plea for the building up of Christ's body in this place is that you move church into the non-negotiable category of your life. That is my plea to all of us. We need to be here for ourselves. We need to be here for one another. And we need to read and listen to God's word together. When we read together, it helps us read rightly. Yes, listen discerningly online. A number of you listen to sermons online, but don't make that your main diet. The online preacher doesn't know you. Well, he might, but often they don't. Also, come and listen in church to someone who does know you, where you can't press stop, where there's less distractions, and mainly where others know you've heard it. And where you know others have heard the same message as well. So that we can be shaped together. We can obey together. We can be accountable to one another. Be built up together. Come to church prayerfully as well. Come to church prayerfully for the preacher. Listen up, books coming at the end. Come to church prayerfully for yourself, for the whole body. Come to church fresh, not exhausted if possible. So we are the body of Christ. We need building and we need moving. That's what we're going to think about for a few minutes. Now, moving comes naturally when you're young. Perhaps you are one of those children that never stopped moving. It drove your parents mad. But moving becomes something you have to make yourself do as you get older. Is that right? You've got to make yourself get out there and so on. You get a few years under your belt. Well, you've got it doesn't come so naturally. And actually the same goes for Christians and whole churches, really. Young Christians, what are the young Christian like? Someone who's just become a Christian. Well, they're keen. They begin a new life, usually, with enthusiasm. A young church, or take a young, recently planted church. Well, they'll be the same. They'll have a zeal and a vibrancy about them. Long-established churches, on the other hand, that have refined their systems and so that everything has its place and time, they need to beware that their building, their structures and patterns don't slow them from a run to a walk to maybe even a grinding halt in going forward. I haven't been here at this church very long, 3 years now. Some of you have been here a very long time, which is wonderful. And those of you who've been here a number of years, you'll remember, kind of on a graph, at times of up and down, times where the church was really growing, times where the church, perhaps you felt it was plodding, or perhaps times where it felt like the church maybe just parked up and take a seat on a bench for a bit, maybe even going backwards. Should a church be moving forwards? Should the church be moving forwards? And in, what does that mean? And in what way? Well, do we have a mission as a church? Yes. Christ left us with the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the mission. And if you've got a mission, well, you have to take action. It means movement, doesn't it? Jesus' mission was to die. Of course, only Jesus could do that mission. That was his alone. But Jesus' second priority, if you like, well, when he was on earth, before he died, was to preach the kingdom, wasn't it? He also ministered to people's bodies as well, didn't he, while he was on earth? Jesus was all action. He never stopped. His life was to serve the Father's purpose. And our mission is to proclaim the gospel about him, isn't it? To hold out this wonderful gospel. It's to partner God in his redemptive work in this world through the church, what he's doing. So the New Testament church, particularly we see in the book of Acts, was all action. They really were all action. The repeated refrains through the book of Acts are things like the word spread. The Lord added to their number. They spoke the word boldly. The New Testament church was moving internally. There was growth within people, of course. And they were growing spiritually. And also there was an outer visual growth as well, as more were added and believed. Has the mission for us today changed? No. We too are to obey Christ, who calls us, had the verse earlier, we've got it in front of us, hopefully, through Paul, to strain forward, press on. Because God is glorified by growth. A lack of desire to grow, on the other hand, is ungodly, because it disobeys and it denies what God is like. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in salvation. I think of a team or an athlete. What's the mark of a good team or an athlete? Well, it's their recognition that actually they're not there yet. They need to press on. You don't hear sports people, well, Muhammad Ali maybe, but you don't hear many sports people saying, I'm there, I'm the finished article. Likewise, that the mark of a healthy church, the mark of a healthy Christian, is recognition that we need to grow, that actually we need to press on. And this is not about changing our position in Christ. That's not possible for a Christian. This is about moving to improve our condition in Christ. So Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this or arrived at my goal, Paul says. He encourages us towards a healthy dissatisfaction with our current spiritual state. And we know we're not the finished article, don't we? Not even close? Absolutely. The truth is, actually, the more a Christian grows, the more we need to grow, the more we realize we need to grow. The more sin is exposed, actually, the more wretched a Christian knows they are as they understand God and godliness. We have not arrived individually. We have not arrived collectively. We are not yet the church at rest. So we should be the church on earth militant. The church moving now. What if a church isn't growing? Let's think about holding back for a moment. I forgot to put a picture of a sloth on the screen, but imagine there's a picture of a sloth on the screen. Sloths are very interesting animals. There's some very interesting facts about them. Did you know they can, a bit like an owl, they can turn their head nearly 360 degrees. They have 4-inch claws, which they hang on to trees. Are you fascinated by this? Come to church about sloth. We won't talk about their toilet habits. They are very interesting. But one of the things about them is they are so slow that mold and algae grows on them. A church not engaged in its mission is probably a church gathering mold in some way. It's probably a church either standing still or going backwards in some way. Why might a church kind of just pull over off the track for a moment and just rest, or even maybe lie down. Why is it that individual Christians and maybe whole churches exist where inside them there's little or no spiritual ambition or expectation to grow? It might be they're not actually Christians, because that's not the picture of the New Testament picture of a believer. It could be that a church is immobile because it's just a gathering of people just wanting to feel good about themselves rather than glorify Christ and rejoice in his forgiveness. But more common is a church where they're true Christians, but there's a kind of slothful attitude, perhaps through an unhealthy love of tradition, fear of the unknown, the disorientation of change that all that brings. More often or not, it's about comfort zones, though, isn't it? Playing things safe because of personal cost, time and energy and money. And a moving church is a messy church because it does require energy, time and resources. The whole body is required. All parts are needed. And a moving church is messy because a moving church gets things wrong. This side of glory, as sinners interact, we can't do so without mishaps happening amongst us. When a church gets moving, it may trip. Hopefully it'll just be like a stumble, a small stumble. It is hard because it's tempting to kind of lower expectations as a church and where we want to go. It is easier to get things kind of running and get the ministries running up and kind of press cruise control. That way we would kind of keep a safe distance from each other at times. You know, we'd have less stress, more time for recreation outside of church, those sorts of things. But the moving church on mission is not a comfortable church. And I don't want to be in a church like that. And I hope you don't as well. Don't we want to be a vibrant church? Don't we want to be a people seeking to live out and hold out this wonderful gospel that has so saved us, that has so taken hold of us? That's the church I want to be part of. And of course, going forward must be done together. It's really important that we're wise, and some aspects will take time, but go forward, a church must. So let's think lastly about pressing on in the C.S. Lewis series about Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia. There's a phrase which always excited me as a child, sort of made my hair stand up a little bit on end. It still does excite me. It's not the one about Turkish delight, but it's the phrase, Aslan is on the move. And that is a loaded phrase in the book. It's all spiritual pictures, isn't it, of Christ. Aslan, the lion, represents Jesus, and him simply moving doesn't mean he's kind of just moving around a bit. But when the great king moves, things happen. People change. Circumstances change as well. Now, God is moving his plan of redemption to completion. This world is going somewhere. The church is going somewhere. And he is taking it somewhere. And we want to be on board. We don't want to be left behind. So the direction we need to move is, of course, towards God. Well, that's why we're here today, I trust, to praise him, to grow, to know more about him. And also, we need to move towards each other, because the church is God's plan of redemption in this world. And we need to move towards outsiders. We move towards God together on Sundays. Do we move towards God also in the week, when we're not here? We move towards each other on Sundays. Or do we also move towards each other in the week? And when do we move towards the lost? In what way? Do we support missions financially? Do we support missions prayerfully? Do we support the ministries of the church prayerfully as well? Do we pray for people we know who don't know Jesus? Now, we're not all evangelists. Some are called to be evangelists. But we can all pray. And we all should pray, shouldn't we, for the lost? As a church, we've talked about identifying 5 non-Christians to pray for, and to pray for them, for their salvation, and pray for opportunities to invite them. Pray for boldness in our own hearts to actually invite them as well. That's what we want to do as a church, to be praying boldly. so that they hear about Jesus. Maybe the Job series coming up, the Christmas carol service, coffee, craft and chat, dig deeper, a cup of tea around your house. Where might it be that these people on your heart that you love and don't know the Lord, where might the connection be? Let me encourage us all to be doing this as a church. Make the Christmas carol service maybe a daily or a weekly prayer point. And let's get praying boldly for movement in the souls of family members who don't know the Lord. For movement in the hearts of our neighbours who don't know the Lord. For colleagues at work. Let me draw to a close by thinking about what a church on the move looks like and might look like. What are the signs of growth? Well, here's a few main ones and a few sort of other possibilities. And this is what we should want for ourselves as a church. A growing church experiences a greater sense of conviction of sin. A growing church experiences joy, increasing joy in Christ, and longing and hunger for the Word. In a growing church, Christians who were previously lazy actually become active. Sleepy Christians wake up. And the kind of Holy Spirit's normal work is intensified. So Christians aren't living kind of drained by sin anymore, constant guilt, but they're actually living under the influence of the Spirit and the fullness of Christ, rather than that kind of limping along picture on the track. A growing church is a church that desires to pray. The phrase was coined, wasn't it? If you want to measure the health of a church, just go look in the prayer meeting. And it's true. And in their prayers, a moving church increasingly prays for things like evangelism and ministry opportunities. A growing church, or in a growing church, mature believers, those who've been Christians for a while, will be getting a fresh sense of their responsibility to disciple younger believers. Maybe inviting them for meals. Maybe being intentional about talking to younger believers or young people after the service and so on. In a growing church, there'll be more sharing the gospel with outsiders. There'll be less reliance amongst members on church programs. So more spontaneous ministries kind of happening. Take two ladies organizing an evangelistic coffee morning in their home, that sort of thing. In a growing church, in a moving church, more spiritual conversations take place. There's more confession of sin to each other. There's an openness. There's a longing to grow and help each other. There's increased giving. People thinking, well, how can I take £20 out of my weekly budget and put that aside for church, for missions, for the needy? In a growing church, people will kind of take career sacrifices, in order to serve Jesus, that sort of thing. Did you hear about the person that turned down the promotion, a better salary in order to continue being an elder or help with the youth? In a growing church, husbands will take their role as spiritual leaders in the home more seriously. They will rise up to love their wives more and fearlessly lead their families in the Lord. In a growing church, growing numbers of people in the church are called to mission and have a desire to serve the Lord. The church I was growing up in as a teenager had a real growth spurt. I think it happened here as well, but there's a lot of young people started coming for a few years. There's a real buoyancy about the place, exciting. And from that time, a number of young men and women went on to serve Christ in a kind of full-time capacity, if you like. I think it was about 7 or 8 in all. Went from the youth group that are now pastors and pastors' wives, evangelists and so on. Not all are called to be preachers, evangelists, but a sign of a growing church is emerging leaders. And a moving church naturally draws people in. That will be happening as a church grows, but the church has a big focus on sending people out as well. Isn't this the kind of things we want the Lord doing amongst us? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be exciting? It is happening. There's many things to be encouraged about. Isn't this, though, the direction we want to be going as a church? Moving towards all the parts, moving as one. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of us all, who is over all through all and in all, Paul says. A wonderful picture. May we be a church, one body that is being built up and that is moving forwards in Christ's mission together.